Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Coach Mac, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, let me tell you something. How good is life when you win an NFL football game on Sunday?
That's what we were talking about on Monday.
Especially
how different
that way.
How different was the show, what we do on Monday, compared to the previous week? You know, when I was like, I started the show with, this could not have gone any worse on any level. And then Monday, boom.
No, I mean, it's just because it's so all-encompassing, and it makes everybody feel good. I mean, I was asked earlier, how important an NFL win is, and I said, it's like oxygen. You know, I mean, it really is. I mean, if you need oxygen to live, you need to win to live, too. And that's just how important it is. And plus, especially as you just said, the way it came about, and you could, you know, everything that was against the Titans, you know, as far as the external factors and then the people that they didn't have. I mean, the thing that I like, guys, was really being around there all week and up in practice all week and in that building all week and just seeing, you could feel the resolve in it and you could sense it. I mean, it emanated throughout that team from the head coach, from the general manager to the players, and the players deserve, and Mike Vrabel, to me, I mean, I just really, really, I mean, I buy in a lot to the way he is. He gave all the credit to the players, which is true. They buy into the plan and they execute the plan, but they also have to believe in it. And you guys know this. Our listeners know this too. Our fans know this. You have a coaching staff that works that hard and that deep and that long to put together a plan like that, and then it works.
Yeah.
Guess what that does for you as a coaching staff and as an organization? Everybody believes. And if everybody believes, I mean, you still got to play well, but it gives you a chance.
I just thought it was an amazing coaching job, given the personnel limitations that were available to that coaching staff and the game plan that they put together and the creativity that was involved. I just thought Coach Mack, and you can speak to this much better than me, but sitting there in Section 225 watching this thing go down, I just thought big picture, this is such a positive thing to see in week two.
No. I mean, you felt it, and everybody in the stadium could feel it. And knowing what they went through and what they had to overcome to do it. But, and again, the one thing that I really liked, that you never got the sense in that building or on that practice field all week, you never got a hangdog, woe is me attitude. None of that. You know, whatever happens, happens. But we are still going to find a way to win this football game. And then, you know, to come out and to enable your players to take control of the game early with the fake punt. I mean, that's some stones.
I was going to say gutsy.
No, yeah.
Yeah, stones, much better word. That's much
well,
more
not a much. It's not a much better word.
It's more descriptive.
Okay, well, thank you. All right. and I mean, that is so huge. And then to come out, and I tell you what they did to Houston, and we'll move on from Houston, you know, pretty quick. But what they did is they put them on their left foot on that sideline so fast, because that discombobulated them some. And then, you know, you come out in the Wildcat, and all of a sudden now they're, you know, they're trying, they don't know whether they're on foot or horseback now. They're trying to figure it out. All right. And what that does, it gets you on the sideline. You start working through those pads, and you start looking at everything. And then you forget what your other game plan is. And before you know it, you've gotten hit in the face twice. It's 14-0. And so to me, and then they still had to play for three more quarters, right, really hard against a good football team. And they got it done. And it just, that's such a feeling of accomplishment. I mean, it's just, again, I've been through it, you know, and I've known, I mean, you know, to play sometimes when you're a little bit undermanned. And if you do win, it's the best feeling in the world. Now that what you got to do, you got to stack it. You got to stack it for this week.
Stack wins.
It was interesting to see LaFleur, like you pointed out, to show them completely different looks on drive after drive after drive early on. So you're running power eye. Oh, and then here's the Wildcat. Oh, then here's no huddle. And like you said, and Blaine Bishop said, that sends them to the sideline. And then they're like, okay, how do we stop this? How do we? And then you come out and you don't do that anymore. No, then you do something else. It was amazing to see that.
Mickey, you're 100% right. And the other thing that's important, too, they had a specific game plan, too. They knew what their limitations were. And so, you know, within all of those elements that they were using, you know, they knew they had to limit. They had to limit possessions for Houston. We knew that. And so, I mean, you know, they're not taking a lot of chances. They're not spinning the ball down the field very far. And then what happens is when you make some critical, critical plays, and especially converting third downs, and we can all point to some of the third downs they converted that made a big, big difference at the end of that ball game. But you're 100% right, Mickey. I mean, that's how they kept them off balance. But when you're keeping somebody off balance, you've also got to be executing what you're doing, because it really doesn't do you a lot of good to show them a whole lot of different things if they're not working.
And listen, people can say what they want about Blaine Gabbert. I did what Donald
did. What I did.
But he made, you're right. There were some second and long plays and some third down plays where he made some tight window throws that extended drives. And as you put it, kept limiting possessions, kept that clock moving.
Well, and that's one of the best plays he made is when he got away from J.J. Watt. He came screaming clean off that edge one time and then made a throw on the run, you know, threw a dime on the run. I mean, those are big time plays that moments in the game when you look back, those are stolen yardage plays when you look back at a game that you say, because if you don't make that happen, well, then there's a whole series of events that happened after that will never occur. So, yeah, I felt so good. I mean, I love that. I mean, when I yelled game, set, match at the end of that game, I was ready to jump out of the box.
I loved that call. Coach, we heard from Marcus today. He talked about his injury a little bit, said, you know, basically described it. It's like when you strum a guitar string and it's still moving. That's kind of what his nerve is doing. Just kind of break down the difficulty this injury is presenting for him from a grip, throwing the football, accuracy standpoint.
You know what? And this injury, really, if it was another position, you probably wouldn't be quite as vital because, you know, there. I mean, you've seen guys play defense with those clubs on their hands, or you've seen guys. I mean, but look, you're a quarterback, and when you know your spin and your grip on the ball and touch passes, I mean that's everything. I mean, it's like a pitcher, you know, it's like a pitcher in baseball. You know, if your fingers aren't right, you know, that's because that's everything that you do with it, you know, throwing it, spinning. I mean, that's big. And if you can't feel it, then you, and again, as I said, I dropped out of medical school real early, but what happens is you start overcompensating, you know, for things, and then everything goes sideways. So, I mean, we need him to get well, but, I mean, you can't do anything other than wait for it to get well.
Titans at Jaguars on Sunday, and Jaguars might be the best team in the AFC at this point. A lot of people are saying that. It's 2 weeks in, but the Titans have won 4 out of 5 in this series.
This series has always been, and you guys know this, our listeners know this. I mean, these two franchises have always stood toe to toe. I mean, every time these two franchises have played, you know, I've been involved in 12 of them as no, 16 of them as a coach. It's going to be middle of the ring, trading punches. Nobody's backing down. You know, I mean, that's what this series has always been. The other thing about it, you know, you talked earlier about Jacksonville, the first two ball games they've played. You could look at it and see. I mean, I've watch a lot of tape. They and the Los Angeles Rams are probably playing the best football right now,
right,
on both sides of the ball with the kicking game, as anybody in the league. And you watch that game. I watched that last game they played against New England 3 times. I mean, they were dragging New England. I mean, they did. And it wasn't, and you could tell, and I have no way of knowing this. I have nobody inside the building telling me this. I have nobody anywhere doing anything other than to say, you knew that playoff game was sitting right in the front of their minds this whole offseason, this whole preseason, and you could tell it the way they played that game, because they torched them. They really did, and they physically got after them. That's what they are. That's what this football game has always been between the Titans and the Jaguars, and that's what it's going to be again.
What's the best way to attack that defense? Is it to run right at some of those guys?
Well, here's the first thing that you have to do with this defense. You cannot let Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, Telvin Smith, and then A.J. Bowie, Jalen Ramsey. You can't let those guys control the game, right? You can't play their game. And what you have to do, and I say this a lot, you have got to manage the chains because if you don't keep this defense in conflict downs throughout the chains, and when I say that, you know, first and 10 is always a conflict down, but you're gonna have to do some things to get them off balance early, because if you get one dimensional on offense, if they know you have to throw it, or they know you're going to run it.
Third and long, for example.
No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, or even second and long. They've got guys at every level. This defense has been put together so well, and they've stayed healthy so well. And plus, they were able to put this together because they had a quarterback that was still, you know, not one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. They were able to put together a defense. And normally when you attack, you look at defenses in the National Football League, you can see some form of the defense that is lacking. They either are not real strong on that first level, they're not real strong at linebacker, you know, or they're not real good in the secondary. This group, all three groups, they're real. And you just look what Todd Walsh has done last year with what they did. You look at what he's done this year. They're rolling right now. And, you know, now, the Titans, again, last year, two legitimate, hard-fought wins against this team. Jacksonville knows what type of team this is coming in, and I'm talking about just the mindset that this football team has. And plus, Jacksonville watched that Houston tape too. I promise you this. And so this is going to be a physical game, guys, and you guys know it. There's not going to be anything real fancy about this game.
You mentioned their quarterback and his contract status had given them the ability to spend money on other positions. Bortles is one of the most talked about guys that there is in the league about how good he is or he isn't.
No. What, Mickey, I'm glad you bring that up, too, because, you know, I remember Bortles at the combine. I mean, this guy's an athlete. I mean, he's not an iron deer stuck in the front yard. I mean, this guy can move. I mean, he's got an arm. He can make all the throws. But he's had an up-and-down career, but I'm not so sure that until now he's been surrounded, you know, by the most efficient cast and not been put in the most efficient positions. This guy's a good athlete and a good quarterback. And so what he's doing right now, and then you can also tell this, a quarterback, when he feels like the organization is behind him and everybody's behind him, you can just tell by body language on the field, the confidence that they're playing with. That's how he's playing with right now. And again, you know, the receiving group, you know, you wouldn't say it's a receiving group that's got those marquee names, but they make it work really, really well. And when you're playing offense behind a defense that you know is going to limit people, you know is going to make them punt, and you know you're going to get extra possessions because they're going to make the other team not keep the ball, you can do a lot of things.
Speaking of receiving groups, now that we're 2 weeks in, where are you with the Titans? Wideouts?
I mean, I think we saw glimpses in this last ball game.
Yeah.
I mean, the catch Tajay Sharpe made on that dagger, that dig on the inside, huge catch.
I couldn't even see Tajay Sharpe in the TV copy of that play.
No, and when you watch it, like on the coaches, you watch it on the coaches tape and look at it. Thank you, Dawn. I mean, it was right. It was the only place it could have been thrown.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you see Corey Davis. You know, when Corey Davis, you know, dropped all the pads that he had and the forearm on the guy on the sideline and do those. See, that's the kind you do. And the move that Taywan Taylor made over there with the Honey Badger. Yeah. Honey Badger's still looking for him. You know, I mean, he really is because, I mean, he just dropped him, you know. And so, I mean, we've got some pieces back there, and it needs to get into a flow. And once it gets into a flow, you've got enough talent there at that group to make it work.
Okay.
What have you seen with Malcolm Butler? A lot of Titans fans are kind of talking about him. He's been had a couple of balls thrown over him so far this season. What are you seeing, though, on a down-by-down basis with him?
Coach, I'll give you the numbers here because we talked about it yesterday. Targeted 17 times, surrendered 257 yards, most in the NFL, 3 touchdowns while in coverage.
Okay, but look, if they're going to throw at you, let me tell you something. Here's when you never get beat in the National Football League as a defensive back, when you don't play. Okay, that's when you don't get beat. Okay, when you don't play. Both of those long ones that he's been beaten on, he's been right there. I mean, that's life as a DB in the National Football League. It really is. Look, I've coached a lot of defensive backs in this league. I mean, I coached a Hall of Famer in Aeneas Williams. You know, there in and
what a remarkable player.
Yep.
And a wonderful human being.
Yes,
anyway,
sir.
We're not going to talk about Aeneas right now. Let's talk about Malcolm Butler. I love Malcolm Butler because look. He's got to have amnesia in that, you know, as a corner. It doesn't matter. Line up to play the next play. If you really watch, you watch a tape and you watch it through it, you know, how physical he is, where he's in the right place. Look, if you play out there sooner or later, and especially, you know what, Rhett Bryan and I were in there talking. This is the most yardage ever in the history of the National Football League through 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Through two weeks. Look, if I were still coaching defense in the National Football League right now, the first thing I would want in my contract is a tenure clause. I want tenure, you know, because this is, I mean, it's a different game now, right, playing defense in this league. It really is. And that's what all of these rules have done. So, look. I like Malcolm Butler. He's a good player. He's a tough player. Just please stay with him.
One thing Coach Vrabel said last night on his show, and he put it this way. He said, a little birdie told me that offensive pass interference should have been called there.
Well, look, and again.
It was a significant push off.
What do you think? Okay, look, here's what I like. And again,
I'm just saying what the coach said.
No, Coach Vrabel can't say anything. You know, right. As I said, for 31 years, I was in that position. I couldn't say, I can say everything I want to right now. Yeah, and there was, but it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. And so you go ahead as you live back there in the secondary, that's the life you live back there. And all you got to do, just watch game after game after game after game. How many illegal contacts? How many holding away from the play? How many of this? You know what you do? You just line up and play again. That's what you have to do. That's the life you live as a defensive back in this day and age in the National Football League.
Real quick, on the way out, we asked a question at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. The Wisconsin Chancellor coach has testified that if athletes were to get paid, the school might stop playing sports, which led me away from that issue, but to this question. If your favorite school stopped playing sports, which school would you become a fan of and why?
If my favorite school stopped playing all sports?
Yes.
Well, then, if my school stopped playing, does that mean everybody else has stopped playing?
No.
They're still playing.
You're the only one.
The Frogs have quit playing.
Yes. TCU's done. So just where do you go?
Straight academics.
That hurts my heart. All right. First of all, that hurts my heart. You know what? You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to become an Auburn fan if I'm sitting right here looking at Dawn.
That's my guy. That's what I'm talking about.
Dave McGinnis, Coach Mack, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you need a politician, he's your guy. Need great health care? They are your people. Great coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. We'll be right back.